Welcome to the Bethany Community Church podcast for January 17, 2016. This week's sermon is titled Transformation.
Reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled them, separated and came to rest. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Today I want to talk to you about transformation. Being transformed from someone who's afraid to someone who is not afraid. Being transformed from someone who is unfocused to someone who is focused. Being transformed from someone who is to someone who believes to someone who acts. That's what we see in Acts chapter 2. Now, I said last week in the beginning of the message that when you talk about certain things, it does not require belief in the supernatural because the Bible is a wisdom book. It has a lot of good counsel, how to manage your money, how to manage your body, how to manage relationships, how to manage your business even. But believing in the salvation of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ bore our sins on the cross, saved us from eternal death, requires a belief in the supernatural. Believing in the power of this person called the Holy Spirit, and then you could actually receive him into a relationship. So we wonder, where does he live? It's sometimes confusing because it's filling and all this stuff, and so we wonder, where does he live? Does he live down near my liver, or does he live in my stomach, or does he live in my beating heart? Well, that's all metaphorical. You come into a relationship with him. He becomes a person to you and not a mere thing. So that's what we're really talking about now. So I said last week that requires belief in the supernatural. I will also say to you it requires an understanding of this. I'm going to use the word subjective. And subjective doesn't sound very scientific, does it? And a lot of us who are steeped in modernity do not like things that are, we like to think that everything in our life is all scientific. And I know they're doing experiments, even down at Penn State University, they're doing experiments actually about the Holy Spirit, and they're taking people speaking in tongues and putting them in MRI machines, and I don't think they're going to come up with much. understanding about it. They found out that when people speak in other tongues, that the part of the brain that controls speech does not come into play. So that's kind of what they found out. I don't know if that proves anything. It's interesting. But let me talk to you for a minute, and it's not really what I'm going to preach about today. It's kind of this part of the sermon. This is like a pre-sermon. Let's imagine if you remove all things that are subjective from your life. You only are scientific. Well, what about being in love? You couldn't be in love anymore because that's subjective. That's not scientific. Falling in love's not scientific. What would your life be like if you didn't have the ability to fall in love? What about food that you say is good food? You say it's good food. I say spicy food is good food. Subjective. Enjoying food is very subjective. What about beauty? What about beauty? Hopefully your spouse tells you that you're the most beautiful woman in the world. But that is very subjective. You go to different parts of the world and they have a whole different idea of what a beautiful body is in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. Because it's subjective. So beauty, romance, what about music? What about music? I remember one time being in this meeting, and this hard rock band was playing. And I was trying to raise money for something. So I put together this meeting where I invited this hard rock band, and I invited this singer named Bob Thompson. Anybody remember Bob Thompson? A few of you remember Bob Thompson. Bob Thompson's like a Lou Rawls crooner, you know? And so what a dumb idea. I mean, what a dumb idea to have a program with a hard rock band and Bob Thompson. So I put Bob Thompson on first. Bob Thompson gets up there and he does this easy listening music. And all kinds of people with gray hair came to hear Bob. And then the rock band came on. And I started watching the gray hairs leave, man. They start leaving. But that's not what was interesting to me. What was interesting to me is I looked around at a whole group of people when this rock, and they were loud. I like loud music, and I like hard music. I like all kinds of music. I like old stuff, new stuff. In a couple of weeks, 31st, Sherry and I, for those of you who want some old stuff, Sherry and I are going to do old throwback worship, okay, on the 31st. Amen? Amen? It's going to be fun. So, you know, this band starts playing, and Chris, all the gray-haired people get on the bus and leave. And I thought, this is a disaster, man. I did this to raise money. But here's what was interesting to me. I looked around the room, and this band is playing, and it was just too heavy for me. It was just hard edge. I looked around, and there's about 30 people with their hands raised, tears down their cheek. Was the Holy Spirit in Bob Thompson's music? They go, yeah, absolutely. Was the Holy Spirit in, I won't name the other band. I think there's a few of them still around. That's all, no, that was Satan. Satan was in that. I actually had a guy one time back when our kids were first starting to play, and I had them play at a men's retreat, and a guy was heard to say, this crap is of Satan. Really. But that other group, I just said, was the Holy Spirit in that rock music? Oh, my goodness. I just felt the power of the Holy Spirit. It was wonderful. Sounds or anything like that. My point is, this matter of the Holy Spirit, my point is, you don't want to remove the subjective from your life. Because the subjective is where the beauty is. The subjective is where the joy is. The subjective is where the power is. And just because it's subjective doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean that behind it is something real. That person that you say they're beautiful, they're a real person. That food that you say is good is a real food. And I propose to you that that feeling that comes, you know, I find that there's a feeling that comes when you even talk about the Holy Spirit. There's just something that goes through the room when you talk about the Holy Spirit. I believe that heaven rejoices when we honor the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so excited about what God, I'm so excited about what God's doing around here. I'm so excited about what God is doing here. It's just so exciting. Like, people are coming to me and they're telling me that what's happening is they begin to seek the Holy Spirit. All kinds of good stuff is happening. Maybe we can talk about it later. Now, let me just go through this passage. We're talking about transformation. And we're talking about how the Holy Spirit wants to transform you. And that he wants that evidence of transformation. And not like a legalistic thing. Like, I got as you begin to make place and make room in your thinking for the Holy Spirit. As we go through this, our text that we just read, there's a bunch of stuff I'm not sure I understand. There's some things I think I do understand. According to verse 1 and 2, the church was setting together. I think that's significant. An emotional shift had to happen in their souls before they could go from setting to moving out. They weren't moving out until they met the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just because they didn't want to. It was because what was on the other side of that wall where they were sitting was scary and dangerous. There was a Roman Empire that was ready to put anyone to death who did not honor Caesar as divine. Therefore, their love for Christ was going to be seen, as we said in the little scroll, as it was going to be seen as rebellion against the Roman Empire. Now you go down to verse 2, it also says there was a sound like a blowing of a violent wind. And verse 3 says they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest in each of them. I don't know what that all means. That's mysterious to me. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen what seemed to be as tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each person in the room. Now, I'm willing to do an experiment with 120 of you. If 120 of you will go away with me for 10 days and we will pray all day, every day, I bet something awesome would take place. But you ready to go? All right, man. You guys are really going to really do this. But I don't think we would have tongues of fire rest upon each of us. I don't think there would be a sound of a rush. Maybe, but I don't think so. Now in verse 4, they begin to speak in unknown languages, unknown to them, but not unknown to the audience. I've heard many stories from people who I believe are credible, by the way, of this phenomenon of languages unknown to the speaker but known to the audience. Sherry prayed with a woman one day, and many stories said that she was praying for her in French. And I could tell you many stories, being where I've been for 60 years. And I know a lot of stories by people that I respect. And there's always the fruitcake nut factor out there. But I'm talking about some people that I'd go to the bank with who've told me stories about praying and words that they could not understand came, and someone actually understood them in the audience. So that's what happened that day. And that no doubt is speaks to us. The church didn't get hung up on that, and they didn't try to make that happen every time they met. That's what would happen today. I mean, if we ever did that, if it ever happened today, we'd try to reproduce that every time we met. Okay, we've got to make sure somebody's speaking German around here and Japanese, and if we don't, we're not having church. You know, the church just, some of you remember that people started laughing a few years ago. There were churches where people began to laugh. Now, I think that's cool. You know, that's awesome. I'll bet the first time that happened, that was just great. That I'd love to see some of you laugh. It would just be such a relief. Your face might break the first time you tried it. But people would laugh. And I'm sure the first time it was awesome, people laughing And I heard some tapes. I never was in a meeting where that really happened, but I watched videos and stuff of it. But you know what the church did? They made that something to try to achieve. That every service, if we're going to have a real move of the Holy Spirit, we're laughing. And I heard services where it was so fake. And the guy up front, I remember one guy was really good at it. He was a comedian. He probably wasn't as good as me, but he was a comedian. And he really was cracking jokes. And as he cracked jokes, people began to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And they called it laughing in the spirit. I don't think it was laughing in the spirit, but I don't have a problem with laughing in the spirit. Just don't try to institutionalize everything that happens. I've heard many stories. I've never witnessed that. I have had happen when I would pray and begin to speak to God in a language I do not understand. And it still happens to me. And I don't work at it. I don't worry about it. It's just a part of my relationship. It's part of the subjective, very subjective part of my relationship with God. And I know many, many wonderful people who have great relationships with God, who show great evidence of being used of the Holy Spirit, who don't do this. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I know people that do, though. So if you want people with all the answers, I will give you their name and address, an email address. You can go to them. Because I don't. I just love God. I love God. I exalt Jesus, and I honor the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to let God take care of the rest. That's what they did in the book of Acts. They loved God. They exalted Jesus. They honored the Holy Spirit and let happen what happened. Let the Holy Spirit just do his work and God do his work in people's lives. But one day I remember driving down the road. I was driving to Florida. My brother was pastoring in Tampa. We had not talked, but I was on my way eventually going to be at his house. And as I drove, I began to weep. And occasionally I would pray, and occasionally I would pray. Words would come out that I did not understand. And since I was raised around this, it didn't bother me or it didn't freak me out. Toward the end of the day, I get a phone call from somebody that said, your brother has been in a motorcycle wreck. And he needs you to get on down here because you're going to have to preach on Sunday. I don't know. Like I said, it's very subjective. I believe the Holy Spirit was praying for my brother through me. I really believe that. They argue doctrine about it. And I this Holy Spirit's a doctrine, so I'm okay with doctrine. All the doctrinal stuff about it, you don't get all stressed about it. You just, I think it's super adventuresome and exciting to have stuff like this begin to happen to you because you start believing in this subjective, supernatural dimension of your life. It's just, this does not take anything away from your life. It adds a dimension to your life that is so interesting, exciting, and to use a biblical word, edifying, builds you up. I mean, when I get into this kind of stuff, I just feel like God's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you. That's what I feel God is saying. I love you, I love you, I love you. I accept you. And if it doesn't feel like that, check. Maybe you ought to pray for another spirit. Okay? Now, I understand verse 13 to some degree. It says, many in the crowd thought the disciples had been drinking. Because I've heard from many people through the years that when they first come to our services, and we're pretty calm compared to churches across the country, many of them, but I've heard many that our public exuberance makes them uncomfortable. And they'll say things like, I came there first when I first started coming, it freaked me out that everybody had their hands raised. Well, after a while, I gently correct them and say, everybody had their hands raised? Everybody was clapping. Well, everybody wasn't clapping. I looked around and everybody wasn't clapping. We have more people clapping than we did a couple years ago and 3 years ago. You guys are really coming alive, by the way. I mean, this morning was kind of a little scary. So that got pretty crazy because some people thought they were drinking. And that doesn't mean that they were necessarily being inappropriate. It's just they heard these people babbling, and they heard them speaking. They heard them speaking all these languages, and it took a while for them. Simon Peter had to get up in it. They were not out of control. Now I want to focus on that for a minute. They were not out of control, and some people think that's a spirit-led service, one that's all out of control. But they weren't out of control because Peter was able to stop, you know, and listen, and he was able to hear the criticism. He was able to stop and respond to it. If you can't stop doing something, you're either uninformed, rebellious, or demon-possessed. The Bible says, spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet. Then in verse 16 through 20, Simon Peter in this sermon makes this connection with future events where he describes what seems to be an apocalypse. He says, there's wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Then the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. I have some ideas about the coming of the day of the Lord because we believe that Jesus will return to this earth. But all that blood and fire and billows of smoke and sun turned to darkness and moon to blood, I'm not sure about all that. You know what I'm going to do, though? When it happens, I'm going to say, God, that's it. I don't need to be reading books about blood moons and all that. Because, you know, the thing about it, are you going to do something different because you believe that the blood moon means Jesus is about to come? Are you evangelizing and winning more people to Jesus? Are you going down to the blessing barn and serving more and feeding more people so you know, get people to know Jesus? Are you just going on some intellectual adventure? What are you trying to do with all that information? I'm just going to wait till that happens, and I'm going to say, thank you, God, you're right again. Here's the grand vision, though. I don't mind talking about blood moons and all kinds of speculative things and who the Antichrist might be. I enjoy talking about that, too, sometimes. But here's the grand vision I'm inviting you to BCC. Focus on Simon today. Simon Peter and his friends were totally transformed by a renewal of Christ's reality. Simon and Peter and his friends were totally transformed by a renewal of Christ's reality. And that's what we want. See, we want to continue to respect effort, by the way. And some people are going to disrespect effort. We want to continue to respect effort. Aren't you glad we went to the effort to clean the building? Isn't that good? Aren't you glad we went to the effort to put some padded chairs for you to sit in instead of having you sit on the floor or some hard wooden bench? Aren't you glad we prepared, we put the words up on a screen so you could read them? Aren't you glad you come to service and it appears that we actually prepared for you and we cared enough about you to try to prepare it? So we don't, the words aren't assert, but we don't make an idol of it. We know. The words on a screen. We know that expert musicianship cannot produce transformation in your life. Only a relationship with the Holy Spirit can produce transformation in your life. It is what we depend on. It is what will not change. All this other stuff will change. The methodology of how we do church will continually evolve till Jesus comes back. I mean, one of these days you're going to walk in here and we're going to pass out hymn books. It'll happen. I'll be some old dude. Go, why are they doing that? I want to see the words on the wall again. Why are they making me hold a hymn book? We must continue to respect effort, but stop making an idol of it. The miracle of the church, the miracle of the church. Listen to this. I know this is not profound in its intellectual. It's not intellectually profound. It's really profound. The miracle of the church is that the presence of the risen Christ is among us. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. That's what the Holy Spirit, it's not about this manifestation. There are manifestations, but it's not about this manifestation or that manifestation. It is about the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit is among us. So when we meet together, and not only when we meet in this context, we're not just meeting to learn more, though we do learn more. There is a cognitive aspect to this. We do learn, and we are taught. But the Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit within you, the Spirit within you that teaches you. We meet because when we meet together, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. We meet, and the greatest feature of our meeting is that the Christ presence is present. Christ present is present, so anything could happen. Any good thing could happen in your life. You could walk out of here with a disease and leave without it. You could walk in here broken and leave repaired. You could walk in here shattered and leave put back together. That's possible. Those things are possible. We all have a presence, you see. And we're talking about presence today and that leading to transformation. We all have a presence that's made up by our physical size, our posture, the way we carry ourselves, our tone of voice, our facial expression, the direction of our gaze, the intensity of our gaze. We all make people feel, all of us. Depends on the day. It depends on what we've been going by. You know, that's, you hear what I'm saying? You get around some people, kind of they make you nervous, you know? You know anybody that makes you nervous? Some people make you feel rejected and demeaned. Something about their body language just makes you feel uncomfortable. Some people make you feel warm and accepted. And some people make you feel joy. And some people make you feel tranquil. You have anybody that's just like Valium in your life? You just get around, they make you just relax. We all make people feel. Jesus, listen to this. Jesus made his disciples feel valued and brave. Jesus made them feel courageous. In the case of Simon Peter, it makes the argument that human beings are at their best. Those disciples, and Simon Peter in particular, were at their best when they felt the presence of Jesus. Simon Peter was a transformed man in the presence of Jesus. We're going to drill down on that in a moment, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you through a few scenes in his life and show you what a courageous and brave, almost careless, to the point of careless, when he was in the physical presence of Jesus. It reminds me of the Rob Lowe DirecTV commercials. It reminds me of those commercials where he's one thing with DirecTV, and he's another thing without it.
Hi, I'm Rob Lowe, and I have DirecTV.
And I'm overly paranoid, Rob Lowe, and I have cable.
No other TV provider scores higher in customer satisfaction than DirecTV.
Cable's got me on hold, which gives me time to figure out what the heck the Petersons are building.
What are you up to?
Did you know that DirecTV ranked higher than cable for the 14th year in a row? Did you know they hide listening devices in our cheese?
That's Simon Peter with the Holy Spirit and without the Holy Spirit. Paranoid, thinking they're hiding listening devices in his cheese. Walk with me through a few scenes. I want to show you the transforming presence of Jesus in Simon Peter's life. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. I'm going to put a bunch of verses out there. Simon Peter, we see him as a fearless man of faith. In Matthew 14, 28, Jesus asked a question. No, Jesus is walking on the water. We'll get to the question later. Jesus is walking on the water on a stormy sea. Simon Peter is in the boat with his companions. Simon Peter sees Jesus, and he said, "Lord, if it is you, give me the order to come to you." This guy wasn't afraid to walk on water if it was Jesus. He was fearless, man. fearless man of faith, if it's you, give me the order to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walking on the water went to Jesus. Man, everybody said, I know we can read about him stumbling later, but for now, let's just think about that he did it. Imagine him thinking, this is who I am. I'm a water walker. I'm a water walking Simon Peter. I can do this. And imagine the other disciples going, wow, we can't touch him anymore. He's walking on the water. Fearless man of faith when he was with Jesus. Now let's go on to another one. I call this the bright and spiritually astute Simon Peter, the one with DirecTV. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. What about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And Jesus went on to say, upon this rock, that Jesus meant he was going to build a church on Simon Peter. That's how incredible Simon Peter looked when he was with Jesus, that an entire major church, one of the largest churches in the world, believes the church is built on him. Theologically, no offense, but I don't agree. I think that Jesus was saying it's built on the confession that I am the Christ. The church is built on the confession I'm Christ, not on Simon Peter. But that's for another time to argue theology. This morning, I just want you to see that's how impressive he was. He was so impressive, so brilliant, so astute, so discerning when he was with Jesus that a church would build their whole legacy on him. Let's look at another one. I call this the clear thinking and commanding Simon Peter. Jesus, he's starting to tell people that he's going to have to suffer. From that time on, Matthew 16:21, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. When he was with Jesus, he wasn't clear thinking. Yeah, he was clear thinking. He knew what that meant, and he wasn't going to let that happen. He was in charge, Simon Peter. Let's move to another one. I call this the administrative and directive Simon Peter. Now, we don't have time to really explain the scene very well. A little mountain outside of Jerusalem. And Moses and Elijah show up. Now, this is a pretty big meeting. You got Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And Jesus, this miraculous thing, they spoke about Jesus' death. They spoke about the cross. And as they spoke about it, Jesus began to become luminescent, began to glow. And Simon Peter got so excited. He said, I tell you what, guys. Imagine, he's talking to Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And he says, I tell you what, we got to build three tabernacles here. And I love the end of it. It says, while he was speaking, Simon Peter, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice from the cloud saying, this is my son. This is my son. Give him the hand over here. This is my son. Listen to him. He's saying, to Simon, don't listen to him. Listen to him. Simon, he could not control himself. You know, I know it's he got annoying, and I know his ideas weren't always right. But he was his best self. He was his most authentic self when he was in the presence of Jesus. He was the most real and the most powerful and the most effective. Sure, he needed to be controlled just like you and I do. Sure, he didn't need all his ideas followed just like you and I don't. Sure, he spouted some nonsense, just like you and I spout some nonsense. But it's still good to be alive. It's still good to be bold and brave and courageous. It's still good to have ideas. It's still good to be energetic. And that's what happened to Simon Peter when he was hanging out with Jesus. Then we see him as a courageous warrior. Now, you talk about bold. This is big. They come to arrest Jesus. Okay? The Roman army, you know? Like, I think it was about that long. He's got a whole legion. I don't remember the numbers, but it was big. You know, probably 40, 50 Roman soldiers. Somebody's going to correct me because somebody's researched this and you know the answer. So you shout it out if you know the number. Simon Peter, look what it says. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. He was going to take on the whole Roman army when he was with Jesus, because he was made brave by the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" And then the Lord reaches down and he puts the servant's ear back on, saving Peter's skin. I've had the Lord repair some ears that I cut off too. So, haven't we all? Then there's Simon Peter, the loyal and faithful friend. Matthew 26, 31, Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. That's Simon Peter at his best. That's how he felt, and that's how he behaved as long as he was with Jesus. So, I kind of gave it away. I didn't really create much tension here. So what is the answer that I've already given you? What is the answer to why Peter, free food at Aunt Sandy's if you get it right. Why did Peter act so bold and brave, courageous and loyal? Why? He was with Jesus. He felt the presence of Jesus. The common denominator in all of Simon Peter's boldness and brilliance was that he was with Jesus. Jesus made him brave. Jesus' presence makes us feel good. No matter what you're going through, I know most of us know about Carly Gonzalez's good report, and we're so happy. We're so happy. I don't know. I see Steve back there, but Jesus' presence can even make you feel peace when you get bad news. I'm glad we didn't get bad news yesterday, though. Move ahead to Simon Peter. We're just going to show you one scene when Simon Peter no longer was with Jesus. Matthew 26, 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You were also with Jesus of Galilee," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I don't even know what you're talking about." And the Bible says three times this happened. He called curses down on himself. Then the Bible says, Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. There's Simon Peter without Jesus. He was disloyal. He was a liar. He was fearful. He was frightened. He was confused. And he was brokenhearted. See, at that moment, it wasn't about what Simon Peter believed, but it was about transformed. To prove my point, observe with me that Simon Peter was not transformed by even seeing the risen Lord. See, we're not transformed by truth. Truth is important, but it doesn't transform us. We've seen this through the years. Many of you, we're constantly telling you the truth. We're constantly telling you the truth, and you still don't have a relationship with God. Because we're not transformed by truth. We're transformed by the presence of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in the earth. There was this great big gap between what he knew and what he did. There was this great big gap between what he believed and what he felt. There was this great big gap between who he loved and his ability to live out that commitment. I'm not saying you're denying Jesus, but you just emotionally and at a heart level, some of you have this great big gap between knowing and doing, between faith and feeling. You have a firm grasp on the doctrine of God, but you don't have a firm grasp on the whisper of God in your heart. The Holy Spirit is the whisper of God in your heart. The Holy Spirit is the bridge between your beliefs and your spiritual reality. The Holy Spirit is your soul companion that will make Christ come alive again to a well-informed but frightened Simon Peter and his companions. Is Simon Peter by the fire? You? Would you like to move away from that fire to one that makes you brave and makes you someone who extends understanding to others? That's what the tongues that they spoke say to me, that God wanted to let every man know that he loved them. He spoke everybody's language. And God wants the church. I'm okay with the mystical speaking in tongues too, but in a very real way, when the Holy Spirit begins to love through us, we begin to learn to speak other people's language. We begin to move into where they're at. We start coming to their level. There's an interesting thing I've seen happen. I don't know if Dean Mason's here or not. I wanted to have a little fun with Dean today. That's what he gets for not coming. And now I can really go off on him. Dean's a smart until he met Luciana, a Brazilian Portuguese speaking woman. And he fell in love. He moved from someone who could only speak English to someone who could speak Portuguese. And Dean speaks Portuguese very, very well. I'm telling you, the love of God expressed to you through the Holy Spirit will transform you. It will change you. And you will speak a language of acceptance to people that is greater than anything you could imagine. The day of Pentecost makes the argument that accepting the Holy Spirit is the renewal of the presence of Jesus in the human experience. Hey, let's move to Acts chapter 2. We just read it. Simon Peter, the guy who a few days before had said, "I don't even know Jesus," because he was scared out of his mind, went with the other disciples and they hid behind closed doors. Jesus had to walk through the wall. They had it closed up so tight you couldn't even walk in the door. They had all the deadbolts on, man. You couldn't get in there. They had bars in the windows. They probably gone bought some more swords and they were in there. What are we going to do if they find us? We're next. This is really scary stuff. What are we going to do? Jesus said, "We're going to go into all the world." Do what? We're going to all the world preach the gospel. We're afraid to even walk down the street. That's Simon Peter. He was leading this band of cowards. But the Holy Spirit came. We call it the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came. And guess what? Simon Peter steps out. The weirdest thing happened. He acted like he was with Jesus again. He articulately expressed the message of the gospel to that crowd. He explained to them what was happening. And he wasn't afraid of Caesar or the Sanhedrin or all the Jewish authorities, the Roman authorities. He was not afraid of the world. He was brave, bold, authentic, his best self. Why? Because he was with Jesus again. He was with Jesus again. He was in the presence of Jesus. And he still made mistakes. He still blurted out things he shouldn't have said, stuff like that. He was still Simon Peter, but he never went back to being a coward again. In fact, years later, they came to get Peter, they arrested him, and they crucified him. And he was so brave, and he was so bold, And he loved Jesus so much that Simon Peter said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like the Lord, because they told him, we're going to crucify you. Crucify me upside down. But, and history tells us that Simon Peter was crucified upside down because he said he was not worthy to be crucified like his Lord. Simon Peter spent the rest of his life acting like he was with Jesus. Would you like to have the presence of Jesus in your life? I'm not talking about believing in Jesus. I'm talking about having the presence of Jesus. Here, the key is you start asking for the Holy Spirit. You start asking God, give me the Holy Spirit. I want our prayer partners to come right now. And some of you are going to do that this morning. We're going to have, at some point in this series, we're probably going to invite everybody down front and do that kind of whole thing. But we're going to do it our normal way this morning. Have our prayer partners come, get in place. And you come, and maybe you might have other things you want to pray for. But if you want to pray, and you'll say, you know, I want that relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want that to come into my life. Just have them lay hands. But for a lot of people, it just really helps. And we see that pattern often in the New Testament, that people did have hands laid on them. That was a common thing. So you're in Father's house right now. So be at home. Relax. You're in your dad's house. You're in the Father's house. And so relax and enjoy. This is what we call response time at Bethany Community Church. And we have communion in four, one in the back, three in the front. So you can serve yourself communion. Later on, some point in the future, we're going to have someone actually serving communion on one of these tables, because I know that's more comfortable for some of you. But right now, we're just at a place where we're serving ourselves. Hey, if you want me to serve you, come get me. I'll serve you. But let's move into the presence of God. I want to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that I have, of all my problems in my life, I have enjoyed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I've had a life of crying out to you, sometimes in my fear, sometimes in my sin. But Lord, you've always been there. I've always been able to find you. And I know that that presence that I found was the person we call the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we just want to honor you today. We know that you're not here to take the glory away from Jesus. We know you're not here to take authority over the Heavenly Father. But you obey their promptings. But you represent them to us. So I pray that everybody in this room will come into a relationship with you. Jesus, baptize us in the Spirit today. In Jesus' name. Let's move. This is response time. Let's move.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.